Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time for That Otaku Life with your host. My cosplay is bigger than yours, George. Harley's Love Shack.
Knock, knock, Quentin. Say hello to your new improved Harley Quinn.
And Molly May. Nerd powers combine to talk about that otaku life. Cosplay, video games, comics, and all nerd topics. Here on the Roman Show Network, we bring you That Otaku Life.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the wacky and informative episode of That Otaku Life, a.k.a. That Nerd Life. I am your host, George Alonso, and I would want to welcome you to such a great environment. Nice weather we're having outside. I'm a little under the weather today, but I'll be fine. But aside from that, I'm here with, of course, I have to do this quick because we are having our guest opening up the show here today, which I will explain to you in a second. But of course, I'm joined by my two sisters from other misters. That means I have a total of three fathers. I'm talking about, first off, Molly May. Molly, how are you?
I'm doing pretty awesome, George. The weather's not feeling the same way, but hey, we'll pull through.
Yep, tell me about it. My head is banging like a freaking door over here. I don't know what...
My poor cat's in my room. She's terrified of this stuff.
poor little guy. And of course, we're joined by the ever-so-entertaining and wacky sensation herself, Harley's Love Shack. Harley, how are you?
Oh, my God. I've been having a very, very, very hectic morning with lots of love and stuff I need to do.
I would imagine.
You have no idea. Multitasking to like the level expert right here.
Well, trust me.
You can do it, Harley.
I can talk and chew bubblegum at the same time. So trust me when I say, if I was in your shoes, Harley, I think I would have been lost on step number one. But first and foremost, I do want to go ahead and, say a huge thank you to all of our listeners who made That Otaku Life reach a record download from last week's episode with Nicole Girl Gamer. I have to say we have reached over 200 downloads on iTunes and possibly over 180 downloads on here on Blog Talk and Stitcher, with a total of 66 live listens. So I have to say thank you to all of our live listeners and thank you to all of our downloads. We really appreciate your support. Without you, we would not be here. And also, I have to, Harley, you're very familiar with this young lady, Ms. Leva Bates, a.k.a. Blue Pants, made her NXT debut yesterday in the Barclays Center in a crowd of over 15,000 people. And I have to say...
Okay, can I say something, George? Actually, my sister attended that show. She actually wanted me to say, like, hi to her for her. So, my sister enjoyed you like crazy yesterday. It was awesome.
Wait, you have a sister?
Yeah, I have a big sister.
What?
I thought you knew.
No. Molly, how long have I known you? For how many years? Like maybe
like
five?
I thought you
and
knew.
And you've never mentioned
sister.
No. You've never mentioned a sister to me.
I swear I thought you knew. I'm sorry.
No.
I have two big sisters.
What else have you been keeping a secret from me?
Well, actually, I have two big sisters and one big brother.
No, what? Whoa, this just got real quick. What?
I'm sorry. I really thought you knew.
So you have two sisters and an older brother?
Yeah, I mean, none of them live here with me. My older sister who saw Blue Pants lives in New Jersey, and the other two live in Costa Rica. But yeah, I thought you knew. I'm sorry.
I'm going to shake you violently the next time I see you.
Jeez. Well, again, a huge congratulations to Ms. Leva Bates, a.k.a. Blue Pants, for making her debut yesterday. Over 5,000 people in crowd. And as a matter of fact, we are going to be having her here on the show this coming Sunday, next Sunday, on that Otaku Live. So that should be interesting to hear what she has to say about performing in front of 15,000 people at the Barclay Center. But anyway, today we're going to have the creator and writer of a comic book known as Headlocked, Michael Kingston, which he's awaiting our phone call. So basically, I think it's about time that we go ahead and reach out to him. We're going to have Thor's movie reviews and bizarre facts a little later on the show. And then, of course, we're going to just talk randomly about different things here today, as we don't have anything set in stone, per se, for today's program. But basically, yeah, so who's ready to talk to Kingston?
I am.
I think we were a little too late on that one.
I'm sorry. My cat is distracting.
All righty, so let's go ahead and give a call to Mr. Michael Kingston as we reach out to him. Ooh, looks like this
hopefully
is not working.
Hopefully this mother doesn't make us lose connection.
Yeah, hopefully. So let's go ahead and see if this works, because this is the first time I use this phone thing on our studio. Pardon the delay if it doesn't work. If it doesn't, I have other methods to make this work.
We will figure it out.
We'll figure
unless,
it out
you know,
somehow.
Unless a bolt of lightning decides to strike George's house and not allow him to call people.
That would suck. That would suck very, very badly.
Just a little bit.
Jeez. Okay, it looks like this system is not... Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I could call through this. I think I found it. Ooh, perfect.
You can do it, George. I believe in you.
Oh, thanks for the support. This is how live we are. This is how live we are.
I'm watching a tutorial on how to make Oreo marshmallow bars. I am torturing myself.
It's working. Wow, I'm shocked.
Great.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Kingston.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Hi. Kingston. This is George, Molly, and Harley's Love Shack from That Otaku Life. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, sir. Thanks very much for taking your time off your busy schedule to be on our show.
No worries. I'm glad you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's always our pleasure, Mr. Kingston. First and foremost, I know you had a very, very busy schedule. I believe it was yesterday when you were at the Ring of Honor show?
Yes, sir. It was Friday and Saturday.
Yep. I've heard some reports that poor Mr. Shelley shattered his two front teeth at the event yesterday.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read reports that Mr. Shelley, Alex Shelley, shattered his two front teeth, and his family wants him to retire, and et cetera, during his match against Mark Briscoe.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it was a tag match.
It was, yeah.
Time splitters against the Briscoes. Yeah, I haven't, I didn't get to see a whole lot of the match because I had people at my table. But, yeah, that'd be, it's a rough business.
All right. Well, Mr. Kingston, now, with that already pushed aside, you know, of course, you've written and have created this this book, Headlocked, which I became a huge fan of. You know, I got to finally meet you in person at the Florida SuperCon down here in Miami. So tell us a little bit about the Headlocked, the book. You know, how did this come about?
Well, you know, I've been a wrestling fan and a comic book fan since I was like 8 years old. And, yeah, I would buy comics every time they came out. You know, anytime a wrestling comic would come out, I would go out and buy it. And I would always be disappointed because it would be, you know, a campy story about Undertaker fighting demons or, you know, Kevin Nash as Mad Max or Ultimate Warrior stripping Santa Claus naked, and none of those things were. Yeah, that's a real thing. None of those things were ever anything that interested me. You know, like, I was a wrestling fan and I wanted to read about wrestling. So, you know, it became clear to me at some point that they were never going to make a wrestling comic, you know, the way I wanted to read it. So I decided to make my own. And, you know, it started from there. You know, I just decided to make a comic about wrestling that, you know, I felt wrestling fans would appreciate.
And Mr. Kingston, with you being a fan since 8 years old and all that stuff, have you ever possibly looked into maybe becoming a wrestler yourself or being at least a manager or working for a company? Did that ever cross your mind?
You know, when I was younger, I thought about it. I really did. You know, but unfortunately, I'm, you know, I was sort of pre-internet. I was sort of that time of my life was pre-internet, and there weren't any schools in the area that I was in, and I don't think I had the perspective of, you know, oh, I could travel and go to a school or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I was born maybe 10 years later or something, you know, I probably would have had a different experience on it. But, you know, it just wasn't something that really worked out.
No, it's completely understandable, because when I was actually training to be a wrestler, I was able to work a couple matches on the circuit until I got a severe concussion. On top of that, I'm a diabetic, so I didn't want to risk it anymore. So it's pretty much kind of like I was cut short. I used to tell my mother, ever since I got into wrestling at like about your same age, Mr. Kingston, that I've always wanted to be like Hulk Hogan. For Christ's sake, when Hulk Hogan would come down the aisle, I would tell my mom to raise up the volume on the TV, and I would pose like him.
Sure.
So, trust me, it was a dream, a passion of me to do it. I'm glad I was able to do it for such a short period of time. But, you know, with wrestling how it is now and how you're talking about the internet and stuff, do you feel like the internet and of course your book and et cetera, do you feel like all these outside sources have helped the business more, or do you feel like it's besides your book, do you feel like it's harming it in a way of kayfabe?
No, I mean, I think that if anything, I think it brings a lot of, I think people have more of an appreciation for wrestling when they know what's behind it. I mean, really, when you get down to it, I mean, what form of entertainment is real? I mean, you know what I mean? Movies aren't real. I mean, none of it's real. You know what I mean? Like, and I think just the very obvious fact that none of the guys get black eyes after getting punched in the face, I think, would signal to anybody that it's not, you know, a legitimate fight. I think that, you know, I think it's opened the doors for other stories to be told, other types of stories to be told. You know, it released some of the WWE's stranglehold on the business. You know, it's allowed the indies to thrive a little bit, you know, and, you know, let people see the wrestling, you know, wrestling from Japan and Mexico, and I think have a wider appreciation for what wrestling is as an art form. You know, I think, if anything, I think that the thing that hurts, I think, is when wrestlers don't, I don't know, when they're not who they are on the internet. Like, I think a guy like CM Punk is CM Punk, you know, like, and I think that makes his character more authentic and easier to buy into. I think it's a little trickier when you have people acting one way on TV versus acting another way on the internet. Like, I think that's somewhat harmful, but, you know, I also understand 100% that some people don't want to live their gimmicks.
Yeah, completely. And mind you, you even speak about the real stuff. You know, being as a writer, Mr. Kingston, and, you know, for your comic, has anyone ever come up to your because obviously in life there's always that, you know, pardon my language, but that one negative ass, you know, that has to practically try to ruin everything. Have you ever bumped into a situation where you're at your table trying to sell your book with many of the great stars that you worked with, like Jerry the King, Lawler, or Mickey James, and just come up and say, hey, why are you writing a book of of fake, pardon my language again, but fake shit. Have you ever bumped into a situation like that?
No, I mean, honestly, I mean, my experiences have really been nothing but positive.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I try to be a positive person, and I try to put positivity out into the world. And I think a lot of times that when you do that, I think it finds its way back to you. I've been really, really blessed with all the guys that have, helped me out with my book. Like you said, like Jerry and, like Rob Van Dam and Hurricane and Daniels and Kaz and all those guys. They're fantastic guys. And, I think that, the fan reception has been overwhelmingly positive. And most of the time people coming through the tables they're very cool. They know what we're trying to do. And, I think that even if you don't like something, you don't have to be negative. You don't necessarily have to be negative about it. I tell a story about a kid coming of age in the wrestling business. So I think that there's something for everyone in that book, even if people don't like wrestling, they can sort of follow the struggle and whatnot, of the main character. And I've had a lot of people buy the book who didn't like wrestling that were intrigued by the story, and they definitely enjoy it. So, I've been really blessed to have a lot of positive experiences so far.
Well, and my last question for this, Mr. Kingston, because how you said that you work with many legends, many great stars, including Rob Van Dam, Mickey James, The Hurricane, et cetera, Jerry the King Lawler, WWE Hall of Famer. I'm going to steal something from a Adam Sandler movie. I don't remember what movie it was, but I remember it was him in court where he's there telling everyone, oh, what is going to happen when your 8-year-old self met the person that you are now? I think, none of you would ever, like who you became. But I'm going to kind of steal the same scenario. With you working with all these great talents right now for your book, what do you think your 8-year-old self, that fan that grew up watching wrestling, what do you feel like that 8-year-old self of you would tell the current you right now?
Yeah, I think he'd be pretty amazed. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm generally amazed on a daily basis, just, how... I think you're constantly told as a kid, don't meet your heroes because they'll always let you down. And I think you see it in society today too, the sort of destruction of a lot of the heroes, society's heroes and whatever. But I mean, I've met so many of my heroes, and they've all been super amazing and super generous. And, I wouldn't be where I am without their generosity and, the fact that they like what I'm doing. When somebody that you respects something that you're doing, I think that's one of the coolest feelings in the world. So it's been a really good thing. I think eight-year-old Mike is out of his mind right now.
That's so sweet. That's so awesome.
Well, I'll be honest with you, because I had the opportunity to meet Hulk Hogan. I never did at Florida SuperCon, but I swear, if the 8-year-old me was there in front of Hulk Hogan, I think I would have ripped my whole cosplay outfit into shreds. just because I'm there trying to act like him, and he probably would just laugh. But anyway, But basically, I'm about done with my questions here. I don't know who wants to take the mic next. Who wants to take the mic, Molly or Harley?
Harley, do you want to?
I guess I will.
All right, Harley, take it away.
So a question. If Headlock wasn't really successful as the way it was, would you have made maybe something else in that department for like a comic book or something?
I have other stories I want to work on at some point. But right now my main motivation is getting Headlock to where it needs to be. But there's definitely other things I want to do at some point. I have a horror story.
Do you have like maybe do you mind if I ask a little bit about that?
That's not really ready for public consumption,
oh, okay.
I guess, but I have a horror story that I'm working on. I have a weird sort of sci-fi romance type thing. There's a couple other things I want to do,
cool.
But for the most part, I work a full-time job and then I travel all over trying to get headlocked, to be a bigger deal. So, once I can get that to the point where it doesn't take so much time to manage, then yeah, hopefully I'd like to expand into other projects.
Awesome. Okay. Well, hopefully, I hope it gets to the point where you want it to, and that way you can start making other things too. I mean, don't make any more headlocks. No, keep making more headlocks. And then keep making other stuff too. Like, branch out, be awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I
will. What kind of comic books do you like?
Mostly now I read a lot of independent stuff. I don't read as much superhero stuff as I used to. It's super, super expensive to follow it all. And it's hard, too, when they're just constantly retconning and rebooting and whatnot. So, on the superhero tip, I tend to read stuff that's, single character, kind of out of the crossovers and whatnot. So, I'm reading Moon Knight right now. If Punisher's out, I read Punisher. Some of the street-level stuff. And then the things I enjoy, I read Walking Dead, Saga, East of West, Thief of Thieves, I read Midnighter. I like from DC that just came out. That's really it's really an excellent book. So
you mentioned indie stuff. I'm sorry to cut you off. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
What kind of you mentioned indie comics? What particular do you read from there?
I'm trying to think now. I have I have a giant stack of things too that I haven't read. I buy stuff at shows all the time. Robbie Rodriguez is a book called Frankie Get Your Gun that I enjoy.
Maybe you've read Hack and Slash? Yes, maybe.
Yes. I've read Hack and Slash. Yes.
Yes. I'm not the only one who reads it. Yay.
I enjoy Revival quite a bit. That's another book that I like. So yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, awesome. Now I feel so much happier. You read Hack and Slash. Because, every time I mention it to someone, they're like, the hell is that? And I was like, oh, it's a really hot gothic chick killing monsters. Don't worry, you wouldn't be into it.
Yeah, I think my friend did some covers for it.
Awesome. Sorry, I got stupid real quick. So when you write your books, do you put a little bit of yourself in there? How would you experience certain things?
Yeah, I mean, my main character, a lot of the sort of mental ups and downs that he goes through, in trying to become a wrestler, sort of the same mental ups and downs I go through, as trying to, publish an independent comic book, sort of against the, doing a non-WWE-supported, non-major publisher-supported, non-superhero comic, sort of swimming upstream in a lot of ways. And so I, a lot of the same thoughts and the doubts and whatever that go through my head, I can put into my character as he's sort of navigating his way through the wrestling world. So it's less painful physically, but it's very similar emotionally, I think.
But that's awesome because it makes for a better story and you put your heart and soul into it. And it's even with it, it's just, putting yourself in that view, even with it is real what you're going through, and just putting yourself into it for your book is just, I think it makes it even better, in my opinion. Just because it's real and it's not
Sure. No, I talk to a ton of wrestlers and, on the indies and, the WWE guys and, I get a lot of perspectives from them and, there's a lot of, most everything that's that's in my book has definitely happened at one point or another. It's very authentic. The thing that I like the most, the best compliment I got was a guy who's one of the most respected trainers in wrestling. He trains guys. His name's Dr. Tom Pritchard, and he told me he really liked my book, which, being that I'm writing about a guy breaking into wrestling, that was a super, super compliment. So. But, yeah, authenticity is definitely what we strive for.
Awesome. Well, Monday, do you want to take the mic?
Yeah, sure. It's a
problem. I threw you through the wolf's den.
I do know you have a busy schedule, so like I'm not gonna barrage you with so many questions. I only have maybe like a handful. Did you expect Hemlock to like explode the way it did, or like, you know, reconsider whatever you consider an explosion?
I mean, on some level, I did, I guess, just because not to the way it has, but. I mean, I always thought, I mean, obviously I believed in it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. You know, I think on some level, if you're going to put yourself out into the world, I think you have to have like 100% confidence that it's something that other people are going to want to see. But I never really sort of expected the response from the wrestlers the way that it's been. Like, that's been sort of completely unexpected. I thought I might have had an easier time like hooking up with a regular comic book publisher, but you know, I think on some level it's also been just as rewarding to do it this way, you know, to build it all myself.
Mhm. Awesome. So like the first time you ever had the chance to like work with a big name wrestler, like the first time, hopefully you can remember it. I don't know how long ago it was, but like, How what was that feeling like when you realized just how big it really became that like a wrestler, a big time wrestler wanted to work with you?
Yeah, it was insane. You know, I mean, so I had emailed Jerry Lawler and gotten in touch with him, and he said he would do a cover, and then actually got to watch him paint it. Because in addition to being a world class wrestler, Jerry's also a world class procrastinator. So you know, we were sort of tight on a deadline, and so I met him. He was working an independent show, and so I met him, and I hung out with him in his hotel room while he painted it, and it was pretty amazing. You know, and just to see somebody that you grew up watching, you know, he's doing something for me, but at the same time, and then all the other wrestlers on the show were like coming in and out and watching it happen, and I thought it was really, really sort of a surreal moment for me.
That must have been crazy. I don't think I would have been breathless. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a little it was a little crazy.
Jeez. So would you ever like to see a Hemlock turned into a movie? Kind of like the Rustler?
Oh my god,
I
want to see that.
I think ultimately what I would like to do if I had my sort of my dream thing or whatever. I mean, I definitely would like to see it be a series just because it's a journey story, but I'd really like to see it be like a late night cartoon, you know, sort of a, you know, something that, you know, maybe airs at, you know, 11 o'clock at night or something that we can do, you know, the full story.
Something like maybe an Adult Swim?
Sure,
what about a TV show?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd be down with that too, you know, like a HBO, AMC type cable drama. The only thing that makes me, it's tough about that is when you do wrestling on TV, like, they make the guys bump like 100 times for, you know, every scene, and it's such a rough toll on people's bodies, you know. I think I'd feel guilty watching some dude taking 100 bumps to film like a 15-second scene for my movie. You know, so that's where I think doing a late night cartoon would kind of be pretty chill.
Yeah,
and then, you know, some of my wrestling friends could do some voice work for it, and you know, I think that would be a fun deal.
That would sound pretty awesome. Better
we
than
actually
a movie.
We actually have a motion comic up on YouTube with that was voiced by Ken Anderson and Kevin Gill, that it's like a 7-page Hemlock story that we animated and put some voices to it. And we should have another one up in probably about 2 weeks or so that was based on a story that Hurricane Helms wrote.
I know that Hurricane.
Came out really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really awesome. He's one that I know. That was pretty freaking cool.
He's like, he's good friends with my boyfriend at the current moment.
Oh, there you go.
That's cool.
Cough, cough. My boyfriend's a wrestler. Kind of. Cough,
cheap,
cough.
Cheap plug.
Cough, cough.
To...
Aaron Agony. Cough, cough.
Cheap plug again.
I know Aaron.
Oh, what?
What?
I know Aaron.
Wait, what?
I know Aaron.
You know Aaron. You,
Molly, stop talking. I'm in shock right now. So you really? You know Aaron?
Oh, yeah.
Aaron doesn't tell me these things. God damn it.
Yes.
I'm going to shake him.
You're
laughing because you're going to see it.
You didn't get the memo, Harley.
No, I never get the memo on anything.
Molly, Harley's just discovering everything today.
Molly,
I'm sorry to get mad now.
Molly, I'm sorry for interrupting your questions here. I just have a question from someone that messaged me here. They want to know, Mr. Kingston, let me go ahead and open up this question box here real quick. I lost it for some reason. Okay. They want to know, this question comes from Yaisel. He wants to know, as a writer, would you like to work for the WWE as a writer for the shows?
Yes and no. Like, I mean, I think it would be an interesting thing to do, but I think in current practice, my understanding is that anything you write is sort of rewritten for Vince McMahon. And like, I don't want to work like that. Like, I just want to write what I want to write. And I guess I don't want to have like super, you know, I don't want to have somebody sort of, you know, working me like a puppet, you know, because otherwise just write it yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, ideally,
with
yes,
that,
I'd like to.
Sorry.
No. Just ideally, I think, you know, I'd like to do something creatively with them, but I would only do something that I had a fair amount of control over.
I mean, you wouldn't be as creative as you were if somebody was just supervising you or, like, taking what you wrote and rewriting it. I mean, like, that's how, you know, most artists work, is that...
Well, I think that there's definitely an editorial hand, but I think there's a point when that can cross a line. And that's my understanding of how it works there.
Gotcha. All right, Molly, did you have any other questions, or you want...
I actually just had one more. It's just slightly out of subject, but kind of in subject. I just wanted to ask, like, did any, like, video games ever inspire you into making Headlock?
I love video games. I don't know. I mean, I guess everything that you've experienced in your life is sort of experienced one way or the other, but I'm a giant, giant fan of BioShock.
High five!
No more. So I buy, that's the one thing I buy when I do cons. I buy like all the BioShock fan art I can find. I had to talk myself out of buying a $250 Big Daddy made out of like scrap metal. But,
nice.
But yeah, no, I'm a giant BioShock fan.
Do you like the original BioShock from where they're in Rapture under the water, or
the
Infinity?
The first one is my all time favorite game of anything. I love that first game, but I like them all.
I'm still upset that Aaron never told me that he knows you, and it's just like, are you freaking serious? I'm like, oh yeah. This time on the show, we're going to, like, interview Michael Kingston. Nothing is said. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I know Aaron. And it's like, are you... Well, he doesn't really respond
probably,
to me. I'm like, hey, look at this. I drew this. I was like, oh,
he probably knows me. He probably knows me as, you know, like the Headlock guy more so than, you know, my name.
Nah, I mean, I'll give him more credit because I'm just mad at him now.
I hope Mr. Kingston gets the reference I'm going to do here. Either way, I'm going to shoot it out. It's from Evolve, but I feel like Harley is going to turn into a Goliath on Aaron. But
I'm going to hurt Aaron now. He ain't going to be able to do his little stupidy doodads anymore.
Sorry, Aaron.
Now, I have another question here real quick. I have another question here because I know Headlock has reached 3 books now, and we had this conversation at SuperCon actually, Mr. Kingston, when I was able to speak with you, and you were so nice, you know, to help me get the Jerry the King Lawler signature, and which I still thank you so very much for, by the way.
Sure.
What'd you call it? basically, is there a plan on making a fourth book of Headlocked? Is the saga going to continue, or did you just want to finish it off on three books?
Oh, no. I want to write it as long as I can write it. There's so much you can cover in wrestling. I mean, there's such a big world out there, such an amazing subculture and amazing art form. You know, we could take them to Mexico, we could take them to Japan, we can take them to, you know, to Germany. I mean, there's so much. There's so much to be explored. So basically, I'll write it as long as people support it. If there comes a day that people are like, "Eh, we've had enough of this," then I guess I'll, fade away into obscurity. But I would definitely like to write this book as long as people want to read it.
Well, let me tell you, the story of Mike Hartman has to be one of the most inspiring ones when it comes to, you know, a young wrestler breaking into the business. And it's also one of the most, like, learning experiences, too, which I have to say. Now, I will say this. I do plan on getting all the rest of the books. And so you will see a full-time supporter in me, Mr. Kingston. I will tell you.
Well, the next one's pretty dark, so don't hate me. we're working on it right now. It's sort of his Empire Strikes Back.
Oh God!
Oh man! Oh boy!
Mr. Kingston, this is not going to be like Headlock Zombies. Is it like freaking Marvel
no.
Zombies?
Whoa!
No, sir, no. There's enough ugliness in the real world without having to go supernatural.
A poor Hartman freaking goes from a wrestling ring to fighting the supernatural in the wrestling ring. Can you imagine such a story? But anyway,
I've had people suggest that to me actually, but
are you serious?
Sure. Publishers,
wow.
You know, thinking like, oh, you know, maybe we'd look at this book if it had like a, you know, a more genre element to it, but it's not really the book I want to write, you know. So, and that's generally what I tell people, you know. They say, oh, well, maybe if you had a different artist, or maybe if you had a different colorist, or whatever, and I just, like, look, this is the book that I want to write. You know, if you want to be a part of it, then that's cool. If not, then that's cool, too, you know. I don't take offense. I just, you know, I just want to do the book that I want to do, you know what I mean? Like, that's where, I mean, I haven't been, like, at home on a weekend since May. So,
okay.
For me to get out here, and I mean, I slept on two floors this weekend to go to a bunch of wrestling shows and sell my books and get out in front of people. So, you know, it has to be something that I'm 100% behind and that I believe in, and not something that, you know, I'm just hacking out to make a buck.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the biggest bookings you announced was that Headlock is, I believe, going to have a table or a panel at the New York Comic Con you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited
Holy
about
crap.
That. They turned down right. 3 years in a row, and we finally broke through this year. They have a 20% acceptance rate, so I feel pretty super, super honored that we made that happen, so...
Well, if you can fit me in your suitcase, I promise I'll go with you, and I'll look like the ultimate fan in front of your table.
We can be your cheerleaders. I mean, George and I, we not look that great in, like, a cheerleader outfit. But me and Molly, on a different hand, we would.
Sure.
Well, girls, I don't know if any of you have any last questions for Mr. Kingston.
You said you didn't want to do anything with, like, zombies or anything retarded like that, but would you be open to, like, variant covers that are just the cover alone, being silly or ridiculous in some way?
Yeah, no, I mean, those things I think are fun, and we sell a zombie Hulk Hogan print at our table, we did as a Halloween incentive for our Kickstarter that, it's, train, say your prayers, and eat your brains. So, I mean, I like that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, as far as the story, it'll be 100% grounded in reality. But yeah, I'm all about doing, you know, fun little mashups and stuff.
Yeah, all right. And Molly, any last questions?
I'm good. All my questions have been answered.
All righty. By the way, now that you speak of Hulk Hogan, too, like with the whole, you know, controversy that he's in, Mr. Kingston, is that going to affect...
Oh, you would.
Is that going to affect your work? Yeah.
Not really. I mean, it's people are people, you know? I mean, everybody's got their things and their hang-ups, and I think that one of the mistakes that we make in society is we sort of, you know, a heroic act is a heroic act, and people can do heroic things, but I think we expect everybody to be 100% hero all the time, and I don't think anybody does that. I don't think anybody's that person, and I think that that's, you know, once we start accepting that, I think we might be better. I think as a society, you know, like, there's nobody who's 100% hero all the time, so, you know, he's done some good things, and he's done some awful things, and, you know, he should sort of be weighed on all of those things, but I think we hold people in too high of a regard sometimes. And, you know.
I totally agree with you on that. Like, just because, like, everyone's like, oh, my, Batman will never fail us. And, like, Batman does something wrong. I mean, I hate to bring up Batman. I'm sorry. I'm, like, obsessed with Batman.
No, I hear you. I get you.
But,
like, I mean,
the same example, though.
Sure. No, I mean, like, I think... You know, people should be judged on the totality of their thing, but, you know, on their what they've done in life. I mean, John Cena is like the Make-A-Wish champion. He's done more Make-A-Wish things than anybody, but, you know, whatever. He had a pretty ugly breakup with his high school sweetheart. So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Does that invalidate all the good things that he's done for all these other people? Or I don't know. I just think that life is a lot more complicated than we try to portray it. And, you know, there's good and bad in everybody.
And that is a great way to explain it. And the reason I asked that question, Harley, is because now that, you know, WWE kind of like let go of Hulk Hogan and anything that has to do with him, basically I want to see if one day if Hulk Hogan will be at a headlock table so that way I still could get a chance to meet him. And go ahead.
You never know. I've been signing up some guys. I got a couple more names attached now. So the one person I could say is because he blew it up on Twitter, but we're doing a story with MVP, and I got a couple other guys they're going to be doing some stuff with. I opened some pretty heavy negotiations with two really very big and diverse names from two very different parts of the world, and if those two things come through for me, it could be kind of a game changer for us.
I'm telling you this right now, Mr. Kingston, before you go, if it's Jushin Thunder Liger, I don't care where you are, I will travel to your city.
It's not Jushin Liger, but you're in the right part of the world.
Damn it.
Oh, my.
All righty then. So, Mr. Kingston, let's go ahead because I know you're a busy guy, and hey, you need your rest, especially because you've been going crazy all weekends.
Basically headed to SummerSlam right now.
Oh yeah, I had that conversation with you. You lucky bastard. No, I've talked to Mr. Kingston on a personal level. I told him how much I wish I was in his shoes. But, man, Mr. Kingston, you have to throw that in my face on live radio.
Yeah,
you laugh because you know it's true. I hate you so much for that. Mr. Kingston, basically, before you go, let's go ahead and do some plugs here. How can people purchase your headlock book? Where can they catch you next live and all that stuff?
All of our website and social media stuff is Headlock Comic. It's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's my Xbox gamer tag. All that stuff. The next shows, I'll be at King of Trios in Easton, Pennsylvania for all 3 days, and then Jerry Lawler and I will be at San Antonio for Alamo City Comic-Con, and then I will be at New York Comic-Con in October.
Awesome. And again, I wish I was in your shoes because you're going to SummerSlam. Oh, Mr. Kingston, what I'll do just to sneak into your briefcase right now. All right. So... Well,
I'm still going to kill Aaron, by the way.
It's filled with dirty clothes, so I don't think you'd want to be in there.
I think he would deal with it.
Hold on. I have to do something here for Mr. Kingston, because I feel like that was a certain thing. Yep, it was a... That was a shot fired. Shots fired at me for being in a briefcase of dirty clothes. Anyway, Mr. Kingston, I'm looking forward to the next time I meet with you. Thank you so very much for coming on, and we look forward to seeing you in person again soon.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. It's been
Thank
fun.
You. You were so awesome.
Thank you.
And I'm going to kill Aaron.
Okay, well, that's,
Miami, right?
That was my... Absolutely.
All right, very good.
Miami.
Have a good one, Mr. Kingston, and have fun at SummerSlam.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Guys, if that wasn't a fangasm interview, I don't know what was.
No, it was definitely mostly from you.
it
I'm
going to
kill Aaron.
Okay.
Now we murder clan here.
Should we play the funeral song for poor Aaron right now or later?
No.
A little after she kills him, then it would be more proper.
Well, guys, you know, from one interview to the next, you know, we already have our Asgardian on the line, but I have to ask, what do you want to hear first? Thor's movie? Do you want to hear Thor's movie reviews or Bizarre Facts first?
Bizarre Facts, because it's much quicker.
Alrighty then. So Bizarre Facts, here we go. Here's your Bizarre Facts of the week. And this is some random I found out about today. And I tried to connect to all of us as much as I could. But basically...
if anything has to do with a friggin' spider, I'm going to kill you.
No, nothing has to do with...
My cat just bit my hand.
You
all
what?
Right, so the...
My cat just bit my hand.
There goes
well,
your first Bizarre Fact. First bizarre fact of the day right there. But anyway, banging your head on the wall burns 150 calories an hour.
Yeah,
oh,
you're getting
started.
Your brain.
So, can you imagine banging your head on the wall for a complete hour just to burn 150 calories?
No, thank you.
But you can do that, George. I know you need it. You
know
what? Even take Tom
Tom. You don't get a concussion. You know?
Take Tom Tom with you.
the next one is Facebook addiction disorder is a mental disorder identified by psychologists.
What's it called?
Facebook addiction disorder is a mental is a mental disorder identified by psychologists. I know a couple people that suffer from that.
Wow.
I actually know a couple people that suffer from that. Then, now
are you talking about yourself, George?
Yes. So here's the co-main event one, and this goes to Pokemon fans. The Pokemon Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan, I hope I said that right, are based off of Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan.
Oh yeah.
Well yeah.
So,
a lot of people know that one.
I didn't, okay? So sue me. And here's your main event.
Oh, my gosh.
Get
out of this house.
Okay. And here's your main event bizarre fact of the week, and then we'll go ahead and say which one was our favorite bizarre fact. If you constantly fart for 6 years and 9 months, enough gas is produced to create the energy of an atomic bomb.
What? Who
Let's
on this planet has ever constantly farted for 6 years and 9 months?
Again,
sounds like Aaron.
Let me repeat. If you constantly fart for 6 years and 9 months, enough gas is produced to create the energy of an atomic bomb. Let me tell you something.
Yep.
If you farted that for that long, I don't want to be in the same room as you, because can you imagine an atomic bomb? An atomic bomb
of
farts?
I think that's the fact is pretty much your accumulated lifetime of farting. Like, all the farts you've ever done in a lifetime, that's how much it is. And then apparently it's enough to frickin' fuel an atom bomb. Wow.
Well, which one has to be your favorite bizarre fact? Starting with Molly, which one was your favorite?
Well, I'm pretty sure My favorite would probably be the farting one because it's hilarious. Because I already knew the Pokemon one, and the banging your head against the wall thing is just ridiculous. I don't know how a study was done on that. So, I don't get it.
And Harley, which one has to be your favorite?
The farting one.
I have to say the Facebook addiction disorder was my favorite, just because I know a couple people that suffer from that. So,
I know a few people who suffer from that too, but that's not anything new to me.
So, but just the fact that is actually something that psychologists, you know, are identifying, that's the funny part. So,
but that's the thing. Think of it from the doctor reading his point of view. It's an obsession. It's an obsession with attention. And it has to be driven from something, from someone who hasn't gotten enough attention in their life, from their family, from their friends, from anything, or just is addicted to attention. So, sorry, I went like Dr. Harley on you.
Yeah, I was about to say, Harley, did you get a
doctor? Marlene Quinzel.
Yeah. Jesus. All right. Well, guys, we're done with the bizarre facts. Now it's time to hit up our Asgardian. So I cannot wait to see what movie he's reviewing today. So let's go ahead and travel to Asgard for another segment of Thor's Movie Reviews. We'll be right back.
With the power of Mjolnir. Mjolnir. How do you pronounce the name of this damn hammer? Mjolnir. Fuck it. Whatever, man, that electrified hammer. We bring you Thor's Movie Reviews.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another installment of Thor's Movie Reviews. Before I hop right in, I'm just going to do some, you know, Thor never gets asked what his favorite bizarre fact is. It would be the farting one, as you mortals say. I have my own fun fact as well. Volstagg can create enough energy to produce one of your mortal atomic bombs with just one fart. So, that is now my favorite bizarre fact of the day. How's everyone doing? That's right, you cannot answer me, but I'm going to assume you all said quite well, Thor, quite well. Today's movie that I am reviewing is quite possibly the greatest movie ever in the history of the world, Inside Out by Pixar and Disney, because why not? We got to keep it in the Disney family. If you have not seen this movie, do not listen to this review because I will be spoiling it. So massive spoiler alert, just a blanket spoiler alert. Just get with it. All right, hopping right in. Number one, there's lots of pretty colors to start off with. And man, I'm intrigued. Number two, disgust needs to shut up because no one likes you. She's sassy. She's green. It's like Loki. Yes, he's a girl. Number three, we all have that friend that is sadness. I'm looking at you, Barton. Number four, I love the quote, honesty island is the best, and that's the truth. I love it because it's punny. Okay, I'll stop now. Number five. So that is how a brain freeze works. It is good to know. It is good to know. It makes a lot of sense. Visually makes sense. But I still don't understand why it hurts so bloody much. Number six. Road trips make Thor quite sleepy indeed. Number seven. So far, the Lady Sif is absolutely loving this movie. She's already cried twice. Don't tell the rest of that. Number eight. This child is very lucky. I did not get any kind of family time like that. I am very jealous. Number nine. I love when cars crash into things. I mean, they're such trivial creatures. Oh, they're not creatures? That's an interesting factoid. I guess that's your bizarre fact of the day. Okay. I'll stop with the pun. Moving on. Leslie Knope has a great voice. If you do not understand that one, Google it. Number 11. Sadness is the Clint Barton of this group. Seriously, Barton. Put a smile on that face. Number 12. I wonder what creates pride and vanity, because apparently I have an issue with these and needed to be stuffed out. Allegedly. It's been unconfirmed. Number 13. That was a very nice family moment, but I really need you to start making me cry, Disney. You're killing me. Moving on. The Circle of Sadness. First off, I love the alliteration. Second off, it is fantastically hilarious. And third off, I'm still looking at you, Bart. Stop being such a Debbie Downer. Number 15. No! The plot has thickened as they get sucked into the mind tube of stuff and memories, and I have no idea how to describe what's happening. But it is when the plot thickens. Number 16. I love these emotions. However, the best part is when we get to see the parents' emotions inside their head, and naturally, I can totally concur that this happens. Guys do not pay attention to anything, and we just make it up as we go. Is that not right? Guys, just nod your head. I understand. Number 17. The destroyed Goofball Island? Sadness. Sad. That's an accidental pun. I know I said I'd stop, but that was... I didn't plan that. Number 18. There's a quote in the movie, and it is, "Remember the funny movie when the dog died?" No. Joy, no. That has never been funny. Moving on. Number 19. Piggybacking off of that, Joy is kind of a jerk. You're not being very joyous. Sorry. Puns are happening. Number 20. This visualization of how memories are lost seems so real. I mean, does Disney know something that we do not know? I mean, what is life? I'll tell you what life is. Number 21, life is bing bong, bing bong. I love him. However, I have a quick fun fact as well. My imaginary friend was part Bill Schnipe, part Frost Giant, but mostly Dragon. I named him Steve, but that was also before I knew that Steve was a normal mortal name on Earth, so it doesn't sound as cool as Bing Bong. So, another factoid of the day. Number 22, the train of thought. I love it. It's not even my pun, but it's great. I'm done. Sneeze like a man. Number 23, abstract thought is very blah, 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 blah. I tried to come up with an abstract word, so I had to make it up. Number 24, Imagination Land. It makes me think of South Park. Imagination. Anyways, moving on. Number 25, Sadness Shows Her Worth. Seriously, Barton, if you're listening to this, you are being shown up. Get it together. Number 26, The Triple Dent Gum Song. Triple Dent Gum will make you smile. Triple Dent Gum, it lasts a while. Triple Dent Gum, hope you miss her to punch Brad Best right in the kisser. Triple Dent, la 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 la. Ha ha. Number 27. I love Amy Poehler's enthusiasm. She was the perfect cast for Joy. And if you don't know who that is, Google it. Also, hence Leslie Knope. Also, hence Joy. Maybe you'll figure out what I'm talking about. If not, have fun. Number 28. This movie could literally be about my life. Number 29, Triple Dent Gum will make you smile. Triple Dent Gum, it lasts a while. Triple Dent Gum will help you, mister, to punch Bad Breath right in the kisser. Ha ha ha! I may or may not be singing this every time it comes on now. Number 30, there's a part in there where they're on the train of thought, and Bing Bong, the Bing Bong Man, is showing off the different areas of the brain to Joy and Sadness. And I absolutely love this little part. And he's just like, there's deja vu. There's the subconscious. There's deja vu. There's something else. There's deja vu. I mean, if you have children and they don't get this, when they grow up, they will totally get this. Especially after they have some deja vu. Oh, it's deja. I don't care. They have little things on top of the letters. Number 31. Seriously, this movie is so good. I have nothing bad to say so far. Number 32. Joy is kind of mean. That's kind of cool. Number 33. Joy is sad now and life is confusing again. I mean, she's supposed to be the happy one, but now she's sad and I'm just not understanding. It's okay. It's fine. It probably makes more sense to a child who thinks a lot less and just sees it and gets it. Number 34. Sadness is needed sometimes, though. I mean, it is called empathy, and everyone needs a friend at one time. I mean, everybody knows that one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Number 35, moving on here. Joy is very bright. I mean, she's bright. Literally, physically, she's very bright. They make her very shiny, and she's also very smart. So, double. You got a double one there. Number 36. No! Bing bong. Why would you take him away from us, Disney? Why did you do that? You kill Mufasa, you kill Bing Bong, you're just ruining childhoods left and right. Number 37. This movie understands emotions better than anything I can fathom. Number 38. They're trying to make me cry again, so I'm going to move on. Number 39. I wish my parents would this understand it. It's not fair. They just kicked me out of my house. Rude. Number 40. For some reason, Sadness has the best jokes of the entire movie. That's hilariously. I lost my word. Heimdall, word. He's not paying attention. Moving on. Number 41. That's the last thought here. This movie is so good. I want everyone to be clear here. Pixar should go into therapy because they understand emotions better than a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever you mortals call your brain people. But seriously, though, this movie is just over the moon amazing. I cannot find anything wrong with it. I mean, the only thing that actually does bother me is Joy not being kind all the time. But within the context of the movie, it does make sense. That it just fits perfectly for the narrative. And if you haven't seen this movie, like I said at the very beginning, you should not have listened to this. But as always, go see it. If you've seen it, go see it again. I mean, it's not like it's a terrible movie. And it's not even a mediocre movie. I mean, are you ready for this, folks? This is going to be history. The first ever 5 Mjolnirs out of 5 Mjolnirs store review. I said it. It's happened. Heimdall, shush. I understand. Everybody is shocked. I can hear the thunder of applause because history has been made, folks. Let's go ahead and bring in the hosts, and I want to get their thoughts on the movie as well and see if they thought it was a 5 Mjolnirs out of 5 as well.
Okay. It looks like we're back. Personally... So Inside Out, I had my doubts when first watching the trailer. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh God, what kind of movie are they creating here? But then again, you know, that's how I felt towards every single Pixar movie, and they've always shut me up. So I think I should start believing in Pixar more because
okay.
I've been... So
they made Toy Story, bro.
Believe it or not,
yeah.
When let me explain to you guys a story. When Toy Story 1 was being created and I saw the trailer, I was like, what kind of movie can they make out of toys? Like, seriously.
Oh, so you had a thought process when you were that young?
Yep. Hey. Are you laughing?
Hey, don't you agree with me? Don't you agree with me?
That's hilarious. Funny.
Ooh, Thor. Anyway, don't make me get Enchantress on you, okay, Thor? Anyway.
Whoa.
Never happened.
Oh, okay.
So I maintained his innocence.
So, by all means, I was shut off by Inside Out, and I have to say, I must agree with Thor, 5 out of 5. Molly, what's your opinion?
I absolutely agree. I adored that movie, and it did definitely make me cry.
I haven't seen it.
What is wrong with you?
I gotta be honest, though. Well, yeah, what is wrong with you? What is this?
Well, first off, I'm dating a psychopathic clown. Second off, I'm wanted in 50 states.
Bobo? Wasn't that his name? I do believe it was Bobo the clown.
No, you stupid person.
Bobo. I love that. Well, that's funny, Thor. That's funny.
Well, Thor. Yes. Thank you so very much for joining us. Do you want to plug anything before you head back to Asgard?
Yes, go like Life of Thor Cosplay on the Interweb Blue Facebook thing. And also go subscribe to my channel on the YouTube face picture thing. And watch my videos. I do Thor's movie review videos now. It's fantastic and they're funny. Yes.
Are you sure?
Allegedly. It is unconfirmed, but I have been told that is the bird on the word of the street.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, I was expecting Peter Griffin to pop out of nowhere and be like, pop up a bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word.
Shots, expectations. Shots,
yay! How is that a shot?
I concur. How is that a shot? Unconfirmed.
I don't know. I just wanted to listen to it. You mind? Anyway,
I do.
Hostility up in here.
Molly, you're the innocent one. Can you do something about this?
What do you want me to do?
Is it Molly, get evil.
Anyway.
Especially on Thor.
Yeah.
can you be like, maybe deep in your voice a little bit?
I'm not evil around an Avenger, so no, I'm not going to do that.
Oh,
no, it's just Thor, the dumbest one.
Whoa!
I mean, have you seen Barton? Have you seen Barton?
Well, Thor, thank you so very much for joining us. We'll see you next week when you come back from Asgard, okay?
No, all right, no, we won't.
Thank you for having me. Our pleasure, Thor. Thank you.
Bye, Thor. Bye-bye.
No, not a
bye-bye.
Pleasure. Terrible. Awful.
Harley, you're always so mean to Thor. What has he ever done to you?
What are you talking about? He's been mean to me since day one.
Ow, my ears.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I tend to get kind of, I start getting squeaky when I get mad.
Well, this, you know, there's one thing that I wanted to bring up on the show as a topic. I was actually thinking about this while we were interviewing and at the same time while we were listening to Thor's movie reviews. And the topic I want to bring up, and it's something, Harley, I hope you don't get mad at me for bringing this up. I just want to get everyone's opinion on this.
I'm already mad at you.
She's always mad. Basically, and
what?
Watch her explode, Molly. Should the new 52 be, and should it end or should it continue? I want to say right now, I want to say up front, and no, I'm not saying this because Harley's my sister or any of that nonsense. I'm saying this right now. I've seen pictures. I've read into a couple of them. It should be stopped. The new 52 should be stopped on its tracks.
It should. It's not even for, like, because it, for my reason, it's not even just for Harley. They've changed a lot of storyline that, you know, made certain sense to certain characters. It was like, I'm being stupid right now. Or rubbed off on me. it's just they changed important, I mean, maybe to the writers or whoever, the company or whatever, it's maybe it's not important to them, but to other people, it was important. Like, certain stuff, like, you know, like, I know there's a big uproar with Starfire that, you know, they just made her more revealing. I mean, I understand why she's revealing, because she gains energy from the sun. She's kind of like Superman in a way.
The more skin exposed, the more energy she gets, right?
I mean, they made her very, like, not ladylike. I don't know. I don't want to call her a slut, but it's like, the woman can't close her legs.
Oh,
alien at this point. And it's just kind of like, you know, I like Starfire. Starfire was cute. She's adorable. She's bubbly. You know, she says funny things. And she's badass. But then, like, I mean, I get it. End the Nightwing. End the relationship with her and Nightwing or Robin or whatever time frame, whatever. But to make her start making a joke about how she does all Robins, that's too much in my opinion. You know, and it's kind of upsetting that that's how the females now have turned out in these comic books. Like with Harley, Harley was a one clown girl. Starfall was only in love with one guy. I mean, mind you, yes, break her off from him, end the relationship, have her be with somebody else. But to make that joke about, you know, that she's with all the Robins or has done all the Robins or sidekicks or whatever, that's not, I'm not comfortable with that. I mean, it's funny. I can take a joke. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I would like to hold up Starfire to a certain light. Yeah, I like to hold up Starfire to a certain light because, one, she is a hero. You know, and then just to talk about it, like, nonchalantly and not have consequences to it is just, I mean, if it was to a certain storyline where there's a consequence to it and it goes in further in with it, then that'd be awesome. I'll still read it. But it's just like, you know, the same thing with New 52. Like, Harley Quinn's making a joke about her vagina being a clown car, and it's like, come on now. Does every character have to be slutty, whatever woman it is, you know? And then with certain characters, I'm not too sure. I'm not too familiar with Green Lantern, but I do like it. One of the Green Lanterns had a gay son, and they changed that, I believe. I'm probably very, very wrong, or I'm right. I don't know. I heard it over from one of my friends, and it's like, why would you do that? That's like a great way of, like, you know, they took out his son. Yeah, they took out his son or something like that from the storylines. And it had a big issue where his father was accepting him and all that stuff. And I'm like, why would you take that out, you know? That's, like, a good part. And, like, certain characters are not introduced anymore. They're, like, completely gone from existence. And it's like, why would you take out these certain characters? So it's just, it's upsetting in a way because they're changing the character a lot. Not a lot, but a good amount. From what they originally were, and then they're taking away characters that represent something. I mean, like, I can't really remember certain characters, but I remember all my friends in a group just getting all upset because these were their favorite characters, and then being rewritten or just not even being a part of anything, you know, it's just upsetting to them. So it's like, I don't know. I can see where everybody comes from because, like, for me, the most that I did it was Harley. Harley's not that way. I mean, yeah, it's cool that they rewrote her so she can be a little more herself and, like, away from the Joker. But it's just, like, I don't know. Making her a slut is not, like, the freaking, you know, that's not going to fix the problem. If you want to take a character who's been physically abused, brainwashed, you know, Stockholm Syndrome, the perfect example of, you know, someone who's just fell in love with someone and with an abusive spouse, that's not the way to do it. There's different ways of making her a stronger, better character, and they just took it and just made it even worse. And then they just made her, like, a crazy, like, animal lady. I mean, I know she likes animals, but, like, what is she, Mother Nature? Is she Poison Ivy now or some crap? I mean, some of the covers are really cute, though, but... And, like, they turn her into basically, like, she's DC Deadpool now. So she's in everybody's comic book cover, which is pretty funny, but it's like, why can't it be the good old Harley? I don't know.
Well, with that being said, you know, now that you're on Harley, the one character that really stuck out to me, and maybe you'll agree with me on this, Harley, maybe you won't, but, you know, one character that really stuck out to me in the New 52 was the new look of the Joker. And you have to understand that, yes, the majority of your fan base of comics are adults. But sometimes there's that small ratio of kids, you know, that read these comics. And let me tell you, the new Joker, the New 52, looks horrifying. And just the fact that his face is plastered, you know, like stretched, like, it's not something you'll show to your kid. Let's just put it this way. Okay? Especially
But nowadays, I mean, if you think about it, comics were made for kids back in the day. But it's grown so much that it's like, this is not for kids anymore. It's no longer a kid game. It's the same thing with video games. How many kid games do you see nowadays? Not that many.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Back then, I remember they used to have, like, you know, Sesame Street games and, like, Barney games and all that stuff for specifically for, like, little ones. And now, like, no, there is none of that anymore.
I mean, we did a video game night for PDQ. And one of the things when we were planning it, like, we couldn't think of anything for kids. We had mentioned Assassin's Creed. I mean, well, normally at previous events, we'll mention characters. We had mentioned Assassin's Creed. No kid knew what that was. And we kind of thought about it, and we're like, wait a minute, that's not a kid's game.
Yeah,
as good as the storyline that is, that's not really a game a kid should be playing. I mean, you're killing people. Come on, Assassin's Creed? It's right there. And then you have, what was another one? Tomb Raider. Now, that was not that, like, graphic or, like, crazy with blood, but that's not really what a kid would play.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did Super Smash Brothers. That's the only thing we could think of. And barely some of the kids knew the characters from that game.
Like, unfortunately, a lot of the kid-friendly games are from, like, old consoles. You know, like, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, you know, stuff like that.
Like you said, they're older systems, and not a lot of kids know about that anymore. Like, I can go up to another kid and be like, hey, do you play Spyro? And he's like, what is that? I'm like, are you serious?
What
are your parents teaching you?
Unfortunately, the Spyro games that there are for the newer systems suck. They suck. I'm sorry, they just suck.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the kids like it. I mean, they know Disney Finity. I know that for sure. It calls everybody's attention. And then,
yeah, or Skylanders.
Minecraft was another big one. And it's like, well, we can't necessarily recreate that and make it fun for the kids.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, especially in a tiny restaurant, we would have to wear cardboard boxes.
Correct.
And I don't really know much about Minecraft. I know, I've heard from everybody it's good, but I don't know anything. And another thing was mentioned was, what's that game with the little octopuses?
Splatoon.
Yeah.
Oh, Splatoon.
But that's another hard one.
Game that's also kid friendly.
Yeah, and it's another hard one to recreate when not a lot of us know how to sew, and we had a limited of time,
and
we can't necessarily we can't really use paint or anything like that without getting the cops called on us or vandalizing the restaurant. So there's Street Fighter, and it's not that bad. I mean, it's not, like, overly violent where there's blood. I mean, you do fight characters,
there just isn't anything nowadays that is 100%, like, safe for kids. Like, there aren't many E-rated games nowadays. Nowadays, like, all, like, T or you know, whatever the, or M. Most games nowadays are, like, T or M.
I mean, the only thing that I see now that keeps coming out with games is the Wii. But, like, the Wii, I don't play the Wii often.
Me either.
But it's,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I know it's a lot of Mario games.
Well, with that being said, though, Harley, like, and this is going to be my vote around the table, should the new 52 be discontinued or should it continue? I vote for discontinue.
I vote as well.
All right, and Molly?
I'm always a neutral party. I like to give things the benefit of the doubt.
No.
I've never seen the comic series, so I can't really give an actual, like, answer.
You know what's also weird about New 52? Hold on. This is really weird. Okay. They made Harley... I'm going to use examples here. They made Harley and Starfire slutty, which they never really were. I mean, they're not normally themselves. Whatever. Let me scratch slutty. They're a little more, like, out there. When Poison Ivy, she was, in my opinion, she's Mother Nature. She is sex. You know, you want to be with her. She is lust. She's just gorgeous.
Yeah,
but she wasn't over the top.
No,
she was never over the top. And she had this she would always wear like a bodice or something of such.
Yeah.
With leaves covering.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
they
she
switched
wasn't
her over
walking
and
around with like three leaves.
Well, there actually there's a statue with her with three leaves, but they didn't do that often. But point being is that now she's all covered from head to toe in a black bodysuit with leaves. Now, the cool thing about it is that it changes with the season. So, like, they'll be orange if it's fall. But it's like, why are you going to cover her up and then take away Harley's clothes? You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Like, it's just that like Ivy's power revolves around her sexual appeal, you know? Like,
That and it evolves. She charms. She, you know, she charms people. Not only that, but she's no longer human. She's far from. She's already evolved into a plant. She's just a plant now. You know, and then also with Wonder Woman, they covered her up too. So it's like, wait, Wonder Woman made sense why she was, you know, all armored out and stuff. Like, it was cool that they were making her, like, more armor, making her more look like an Amazon instead of just having, like, a corset and a friggin' onesie, like, thong or whatever. I don't know. It was probably not a thong. It was bikini. Now they just put, like, the leather skirt. They gave her a sword and shield with the lasso. They gave her the bracers, you know. They gave her shoulder armor, all that, and it was cool. And then they're like, nope, we're taking that away, giving her pants and a jacket. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? She looks like a freaking biker chick. What do you, she doesn't even look like an Amazon now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just small, like, weird things like that. Oh, and not only that, but now her father is Zeus. She
what?
Never had a father to begin with.
Yep, that's weird.
Yep.
Well,
oh, boy.
Zeus gets around the horny old man.
Well, all I got to say is this is why, you know, fans, comic book fans or even movie fans are saying that Marvel knows how to do things right. And
people disagree. Like, hardcore comic book fans disagree with what Marvel is doing with the movies. And it's, I mean, there was a lot of uproar for Ant-Man, and it's like, Marvel, the way they're doing it, is they're showing kids it's good to be a hero. I mean, like, yeah, they're all kid-friendly now, but if you're going to give the original Hank Pym, it's not going to end well. I mean, I would love to see an original Hank Pym movie. Like, the original Ant-Man would be amazing, because his story is, like, so gruesome, and like what he does to Wasp and stuff, but you can't show that to a kid. A kid is not ready to know what the real Hank Pym is. So it's better that they had Scott Lang take the suit and like give someone that the kids can look up to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't show, hey, like, I mean, every hero has his fault, but you can't show what Hank Pym has done. You know, it's just not acceptable. And a lot of Thor fans too, like, I mean, me and Tom have kind of talk about it too. He's kind of upset that they show Thor for being dumb and like not really, you know, showing Thor what he can do. But I feel like they're going to build up to that though. And a lot of people didn't like that Thor could not transform in and out of being Donald Blake to Thor. So I mean, not a lot of people know about that neither, that Thor was casted down and was turned human. Not just, hey, you're there. You have no powers, though. And it's like, no, Thor did not know who he was. He had no powers, and he was crippled. And he was thought to be someone else. But if you put that in the movie...
But Harley, I personally think Ragnarok is going to be the showcase where Thor will finally be given the credit he deserves.
I think so, too.
Like, that's my opinion. You know, I could be wrong, I could be right, but personally, Ragnarok is one of the most serious series of the Thor, and I have to say, I feel like this is the one that's going to make Thor look like the way he should. be, you know, from the comics. Now, I do want to mention one quick thing before we go off the air. And this is kind of like a, not an emotional one, but I do want to give, you know, him time. As all of you heard in the news, or it may be social media, because it did blow up on social media. It's been, I believe, like a week and a half now when this has happened, but the Route 29 Batman. Lenny Robinson, a 51-year-old man, a man who decided to customize his own Lamborghini into a Batmobile. Very, very nice guy. Used to visit hospitals for sick kids, give them books, give them gifts, dressed up as the Dark Knight. He spent over thousands and thousands of dollars just to become the superhero for these kids. Passed away in a fatal car accident when his car was having engine problems, so he pulled to the side of the road. And when he was getting out of his car, he was hit by a Toyota Camry, slamming him into slamming him into his own car, the Batmobile, mind you, that he was driving. So basically, this is what a true hero is. If you really want to see what this man has done for the kids and for the community, I really encourage you to watch his videos, because let me tell you, you will shed a tear for the amount of sacrifice this man did for the kids and for the community and the heart that he had. Like, he was pulled for a traffic stop because he didn't have a license plate. He had a Batmobile logo on his car, and the police pulled him over. And he understood. He said, hey, look, my plates are in my car. You know, they had a laugh. They had a couple laughs. He even took pictures with the cops. He did not give them a hard time. He didn't even give them a hard time. The police, to this very day, I'm here reading an article on them. To this very day, the police replay the actual traffic stop on the dash cam. They replay that dash cam footage just to remind them of how fun this guy was. And that's great. You know, but again, he passed away, and you know, this is what a true hero is all about. So what I want to do before we go off the air is I want to at least give him 10 seconds of silence in remembrance of the Route 29 Batman. And may you rest in peace, Lenny. You're in a better place. Thank you very much for everything you did for the kids and the community. And of course, our condolences go out to the Robinson family. So let's go ahead and give him at least 10 seconds of silence. Rest in peace, Lenny. Thank you very much again for everything you did. We did not know you, but we would have loved to have you on the show. I will tell you that.
That's for sure. Most definitely.
So, but hey, you know, if anyone wants to be a superhero to kids, I highly suggest you watch the video of this man, because he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for any recognition. All he wanted to do was make these kids have a brighter day. And that is truly a role model. So with that being said, Harley, I'm about done here on my end. It's time for our plugs.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, Molly, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure, I guess so. Well, like I said before, I've got the YouTube channel, Game Dames, you know, game as in video games, and then Dame, you replace the G with a D instead. There's my Facebook account, Molly Gamboa. My Twitter and Instagram are both the same thing, Dame Molly May. I don't know when my next video is going to be submitted, but it should be soon, because Paula and I did a Loot Crate unboxing yesterday, so that will hopefully be released within the next few days.
All right, Harley?
Harley's Love Shack. You can find me on Instagram, TVNart, Twitter, Facebook, and I think that's it.
totally you said it.
She said it. She said it's so adorable, too. She said it's so adorable. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So freaking adorable. I could pinch her cheek.
Okay, that's so evil.
But I know. So cute and evil.
So, guys, make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thatotakulife. Again, thank you to all of our supporters for making that world record last week of 66 live listens, over 200 downloads on iTunes, and over 180 on Blog Talk. Let it keep on rolling. We really appreciate your support. Next week, we can't get any bigger than this kind of guest, man. And it's already confirmed, so I could already announce it. Blue Pants will be on the show next Sunday, a.k.a. Leva Bates. Very good friend of yours, Harley. Very good friend of mine. And, of course, she will be talking about her epic debut on NXT. Over 15,000 fans saw her debut when the team that she managed, the Von Villains, won the tag team titles. So, with that being said, I think that's about it. Anyone have any final words here?
I saw a tutorial on how to make Oreo marshmallow treats. I'm going to do that.
Oh my god, that sounds delicious.
Are you making it for all of us?
So, I mean, am I going to see you guys today?
Well, that's
for George. He's on a diet.
George is on a diet.
Damn you all. Anyway, Harley, any last words?
I hate Tom.
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right, then. So for everyone here on That Otaku Live that's tuning in, again, thank you for your support. Rest in peace, Lenny. And, of course, thank you very much to Mr. Kingston for coming on the show. We really appreciate your interview. It was a hell of a fun interview. And everyone tuning in, don't ever forget, guys, otakus get lucky, too. Have a good one, folks.
Bye.
Now had the pleasure of listening to That Otaku Life. Thank you for listening, fellow nerds and nerdettes. We will return once again next Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You won't want to miss the next episode of That Otaku Life. That Otaku Life. Otaku Life.